Good morning.
Good morning. This is Donna.
Good morning, Donna.
How are you today?
I'm fine. Well, I guess it must be sunshining and everything over there where you are.
Oh,
morning
it
already.
It is. It's nice. Shiny today. Nice bright
That's
sun.
Cool. Great. Good to have you on the call.
Oh, it's good to be on the call. I'm glad I started getting on the call.
Oh, there's so many things to talk about. I'll never stop first.
Oh, I know.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nancy in Houston.
Hello, Nancy in Houston.
How are you?
We also have Donna in Virginia. I'm fine, Nancy. Great day in Texas.
Oh, yes. I just got up, so I'm not sure what it's doing out there. The temperature is going to be 72, so it should be.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. We have 80% rain today.
It looks, by looking out the window, it looks like we have fog, but we won't have it all day. Usually the sun gets rid of that. Can't see very far. So I see Mary Lou on the screen, but I haven't heard her on the phone yet. So I went to my class today, or yesterday. Yeah, so I'll share a couple of things. That was the last day of my quiet inflammation class with Kathy Abascal. I had hand in our papers about what we thought about the class, and I thought it was a very good class, but I did disagree with her about the smoothie. I'm going to talk about that a little bit today, because she definitely was pretty adamant about that.
About what, Ruth?
About
Mary Lou.
Good morning, Mary Lou. About smoothies for our breakfast. So I'll tell you why. So I put there was room for a debate there on my paper. There were a couple of things in there that I didn't agree with, but almost everything else was very good class. Good morning.
Good morning. What are you guys talking about?
I'm talking about the Kathy Abascal book and class.
Oh.
So how are you doing, Karen?
Oh, fine.
Dark out here, huh?
What was that?
It's pretty dark outside still around here.
Oh, well, we've got daylight.
Me too. We have fog. You can't even see over the edge of the bluff.
Oh, okay. Wow.
It's kind of unusual.
That is.
I don't have that much fog here. We have fog misting around between the trees sometimes.
Oh.
Good morning,
yeah.
Good morning. Who else is joining
us?
Good morning, Margaret.
Monty's here.
Good morning, Monty.
Good morning.
I was thinking we have a lot of M's here. Excuse me. Monty, Margaret, Mary Lou. And Nancy in Houston and Donna in Virginia, for those of you who aren't on the screen yet. Hope you can get your programs up here.
I'm having trouble getting on the screen for some reason.
You had trouble the other day too, didn't you, Margaret?
I did.
You're going to have to give your computer a kick.
I plan to.
We will not, Mary Helen will not be with us this morning, though her husband is home. She is not home, all running all around the place and going back to work yet. And so she's taking Peter to school this time of day. So.
Yeah, he's doing amazing. The doctor was pretty surprised.
because they just can't believe how fast these guys can recover. When you have all, when you've been eating all these supplements and living on these products, I think you're just stronger. And then when you get them on, even in the hospital, it made a huge difference. Both Dennis and Jim. When Dennis had his problems. So, let's go ahead and get started, you guys. It's time. Everybody okay. Should be here at 7, a little before, so we can get started right at 7. So, good morning, good morning, good morning. I love the morning. I really enjoy getting up earlier. I had been just sort of not getting started very early in the morning, and I really like doing that, so. Wow, Nancy, how did you get in here twice?
I think I hit the button twice.
Oh, that's okay. We'll take two of you. Okay. So let's get started. Usually Mary Helen talks kind of encouraging us to talk about our feelings, about how we're feeling toward all this, if there's any feelings you have or questions, particularly with working with our chart and with the program. If you'd like to have anything to say to begin with, well, then you can say it now, or maybe we'll have time again at the end, but there'll probably be more of us by then. Is it? So does anybody have any comments or anything about how things are going for you or how you're feeling?
Ruth, my changes are very subtle, but they are there, and I love what's happening.
I was interested to hear what that you said that Clyde was asking to see your charts, and you said that the other day. I was pretty excited. He was concerned about that.
Yeah. He checks it out every once in a while.
Okay.
Well, I guess, this is Mary Lou. When I do something that isn't on the program, I have guilt feelings. So, that I guess is it's just going to take a while to get over that, I guess. So.
You have guilt feelings over what?
If I do, you know, like yesterday I didn't go for my walk. I mean, I feel so guilty.
maybe your body's yelling at you.
Could be. Could be.
I know mine starts if I don't get on there and exercise. I feel like my bones are stuck together or something. I can't quite move as well because I do a lot of, when I'm jumping, I do it, but I can do like a twist on that little trampoline. So, you know, Karen, you said that you feel like that the changes are subtle, and I guess we probably, they're bound to be subtle as that's how things change in our body, but I don't know. I know that I didn't always eat exactly the things that were on that I was supposed to be eating 100%, and I don't know, it was delayed, but boy, I had some things that were just not subtle. So I was definitely going through some cleansing, so I was beginning to wonder how it was working for me, but then I decided, well, that was probably just cleansing, and it didn't last too long. This morning I was going to talk a little bit about what some of the things we discussed yesterday in our Abascal class, and particularly she had a, now it's time we're supposed to expand our food list, and she did want us to know about how the things that we, if we were eating correctly, how much important it was. And so she talked about eating correctly and we could cut cancer by 50% if everybody would eat correctly. It was like Mommy talks about having a 80-20, 80% on the alkaline, 20%. If we would have a much higher ratio of alkaline foods than the acidic ones. And we would cut the cancer by 50%, but heart disease and stroke would be, she said, could be cut by 80%. Now, I don't know how much of your life you have to do that to get there. She didn't say that, but I thought those were very high and exciting implications there, and that we were definitely on the right track if we taught more people, if we can find ways to teach more people about this. I think it's certainly what people are talking about now, but I don't know that they know what to do about it that much. She said that if we stay on the same track as we are, one third of the United States people will be by 2015, would be diabetic. 75% will be overweight, and 41% will be obese. So those are probably what we would be expecting if people continue eating and going through the fast food and eating all of these acidic foods and don't turn that around. The thing that I was
what were those figures
in,
again, Ruth? A third would be diabetic, and then there were
yeah.
How many were
yeah.
going to be overweight and obese?
75% would be overweight. I thought
yeah,
people were getting
seems
a
like
better.
We're almost there already.
I know. And 41 obese.
Oh, wow.
So, one of the things she talks about pretty consistently is fruit juice. She is definitely pretty anti-fruit juice. Because it's just so goes in your body so fast, and she says you may add it back only in cooking or in dressings. You should never just drink fruit juice because it doesn't have any fiber in it, and so it doesn't slow down that insulin reaction. And it's very high in fructose, and the things that are very high in fructose. And if we really look at what she's saying, let me get my little pointer here. I didn't get my pointer out. If we really look what she's saying, if it's like combining this chart with the acid alkaline, let's go to the carbohydrates one, the chart with the favorable and unfavorable carbohydrates. And so we're looking at, if we look at, remember where the dates are, clear over here in the alkaline. Oh, we better eat more dates, right? Or figs. But if we look far over on our, this is a glycemic, essentially, list. The unfavorable carbohydrates are very high glycemic. And so if you find the dates down here, there they are. You only get to eat two little dates as one whole food block in the zone program. And here's what, you get to only eat one fig. Why is that? Because the glycemic rate is so high. Now, my favorite person who writes about health is still Dr. Russell Blaylock. And just got his latest newsletter. And he is has practiced neurosurgery and is a board-certified neurosurgeon, health practitioner, and author and lecturer. And he recently retired from his neurosurgical duty to do full attention to his nutritional studies and research. Okay, so this article is The Secret Science of Losing Fat. And he talks, and so I'm next going to cover the glycemic part of this, and I'll talk about it more tomorrow. How not to lose fat is to put out more insulin. The most important factor is the insulin and what drives it. And so when insulin levels are high, more fat accumulates in the body's fat storage. Okay, so the high glycemic index is what drives that. And so here are some of the if we watch these down here, you'll probably be able to find them on this chart. And the highest one he has on here, he doesn't have sugar and pop and everything on here, just regular foods. His dates, the glycemic rate is 103. And then corn chips is next. He doesn't have them in order. But the others, I'm just going to read the rest. White rice, white potatoes, most cereal grains, most bread, ice cream, White pasta, 64, that's a high one. Raisins are high, 64. Dates, corn chips, and pizza. So those would be things that we wouldn't be eating, and they would be down here on the bottom of this unfavorable carbohydrate choices. And there they are, the breads and the rolls. And so we would not want to be eating those if we are trying to lose weight. And we have some quite interesting things about this, relating to the thyroid and the fluoride and the glutamate. I really think everyone needs to take this newsletter. It is very, very informative. Every time he comes out, I can't believe how much information he puts out. And so we'll cover a little bit of that tomorrow if you want to be on here. Any comments about this? I know that most of you know some things about this, but using the charts, I know you know that information, but I didn't know, thought maybe we should cover how to use the charts in conjunction with one another. Oh, okay, does anybody have any comments?
Well, that corn chip business bothers me because I've been so, I don't use anything wheat in it, with wheat. A lot of times I've used the corn chips. Oh, dear.
They're also high in plain white salt.
In what?
unless you're making your own and putting on sea salt or real salt, then they would also be using, you would also be using refined salt.
Well, I can get the good corn chips there at Costco with the sea salt on it.
Oh, okay. But the chips themselves, I think, are pretty refined.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. Well, anyway, nothing like getting more education and...
But, you know, there's just an awful lot of things we can eat and still be healthy. I mean, I don't even get it to all these good foods up here, all these nice blue ones. I haven't been eating all of these very much. So there's just lots of things we can eat. And what can we do? If we, so say we eat some dates or some figs, what are we going to do so that we don't get an insulin rush every time we eat something like that? Say, these are purple, we would want to eat them. Well, you know what I do. Same thing I do about everything. Have some almonds with them. Give them some fiber and slow them down. So that's why we would eat nuts with our mango or any of these good foods that we do want to get to our body. Cranberries, I eat a lot of dried cranberries, but I put them with nuts all the time. I don't even like them without nuts.
Well, it's the same, Ruth, it's the same theory of eating alkaline foods compared to acid foods. You know, if you know you like a particular acid food, as an example, just all you got to do is put it back in balance by eating something very alkaline. It's the same way with the glycemic. If you eat something that's high in glycemic value, make sure you're eating something that's low in glycemic. And Roger does a call every once in a while on a Monday, and I was on his Monday before last, where he talked about diabetes, and he said if we could. And he was talking about glycemic value and eating right alkaline foods and that sort of stuff. And he said if a person could just pretend that you were a diabetic for 1 week, in other words, eat like a diabetic was, be concerned about your glycemic values, be concerned about your alkaline type situation. And he said that if you did eat like a diabetic, you will notice a big change in about 2 weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks. And I totally believe that because I've seen that in my own body, what eating properly has done to basically my insulin, which knowing that when you get that rush of insulin, you're in trouble, but you need to equal it out.
Okay. Thank you, Monty. That's very good. You know, as you're talking about that, and you have that insulin and blood sugar challenge. I have a low blood sugar challenge, so I have to watch that as well. And each of us have, and then I have a blood pressure issue. So, you know, if we look for things to bring forward that affect blood sugar, that would help many of us on the call. And if any of you find things that you read that seem to be something for blood pressure, I always like to hear that as well. Does anybody else have anything that you would like to have us watch for that would help you, that what your one of your focuses are?
Ruth, olive leaf extract is very good for lowering the blood pressure, even up to 13 points, what I'm understanding, and that even the pharmaceutical drugs, they have to pass only, I think it's something a lower number than 13 to be able to get on the market for lowering blood pressure. So anyone with a blood pressure problem may try that.
It's an extract.
Olive leaf extract,
okay.
Capsule form. And the one that I feel is very pure, it comes from California, Seagate Prada. He does all organic. Seagate, Seagate, SeagateProducts.com.
Okay.
Everything he does is organic. He grows his own olive trees and does fishing also, organic fishing. So he's got a nice selection of products.
Okay, thank
you. Usually his olive leaf extract is buy one, get one free.
And I believe, isn't that good for candida too, olive leaf extract?
Yes, it's excellent for so many things. And when you combine it with oil of oregano, those two partnering together, they're excellent for almost any kind of thing going on in the body.
And what else did you say?
Oil of oregano.
Yes, I tried that before.
Mm-hmm. It's liquid. It's very potent, and we put it under our tongue, but you have to hold your tongue up so you don't get it on the taste bud area, but because it does burn. But it's very, very, very good. You can also put a few drops in orange juice or something if you don't want to put it directly under the tongue. But it gets into your system much faster if you're doing it sublingually.
I'd like to add something about that oil of oregano. Donna Neighbors introduced that to me earlier this week. And I went and got some, and I've been struggling with the flu. And I'm telling you, I took that. And she told me you can get it in capsule form, and I forgot to tell Clyde that, but he bought it in the oil form. But even though I put it under my tongue and I thought, oh, my goodness, I went into orbit. But it was wonderful what it did for me, and it helped me to recuperate so much faster.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I know I've tested really high on oil of oregano, but I never knew what to do with it. So I'm glad you brought that up.
You can even combine the capsules with the liquid. Years ago, I would hear Dr. Cass Ingram, actually he wrote the book, The Cure is in the Cupboard.
Somebody's pretty noisy. Excuse me, Nancy. If you're washing dishes or... I don't know what else it is you're doing there, but could you mute *6 so that we won't have that noise? And if you want to say something, then *6 again to bring yourself back live. Thank you very much. Okay, Nancy.
Okay. Many years ago, he would say 2 capsules twice a day and 2 drops of the liquid twice a day, and it'll knock out any kind of infection or anything going on in the body. So you don't have to be concerned about getting too much. I'm using both the capsules and the liquid.
right answer is right in our cupboard if we put some things in there. At least it doesn't have to be a drug.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
This is Donna, and on the order of oregano, I go to a health food store, and he told me about this product when I was sick. And I rarely ever get sick. I take 3 of these a day. And if I think I'm getting sick, I take 3 times a day of the capsules. But I also add the, you know, make sure I take extra immunity and lactoferrin, and it usually knocks it out of me if I'm getting sick. It's really great.
So it'll be interesting to look and look it up and see how it is, what it does to protect your body like that.
It kills bacteria, viruses. It helps get rid of candida, you know, the yeast. It helps with arthritis. It helps your joints. It just helps everything in your body. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You look, you know, when you do look it up, it's just quite amazing.
Mm-hmm. Does it ever go bad, the oil of oregano?
I use it too quick for it to go bad. No,
I've got a bottle,
know.
And it says 100% pure. I don't know how long I've had it, and there's no date on it, so I'm going to give it a try.
I don't know. You call the company that makes it and ask them.
Okay, good idea. Thanks.
I'm looking at my bottle. I don't see an expiration date.
It could be on the bottom. Mine's on the bottom of mine.
Oh, here. It on the bottom it does say used by March of 2013. And I've had this a while.
Probably give it a try. It probably won't hurt you.
Yeah.
Back to this, I appreciate all the sharing. I think this is what we're here for. Looking at a couple of more things that Kathy taught us, she talked about, of course, avoiding a bunch of things that we already don't use, but she talked about the reason she suggests we do not use stevia is because the pancreas will still secrete insulin. And, of course, if you're secreting insulin, it's telling your body to store fat cells, store fat in your cells. And so even if when your body takes something sweet, it says, okay, sugar coming, bring on the insulin. Xylitol, she said, not too bad in toothpaste. Xylitol being a sweetener, but it is from corn, so you don't know if it's GMO or not. Definitely avoid oil and artificial fats. She loves chocolate. She just really favors chocolate, so she's telling us where to buy good chocolate that doesn't have sugar in it. It's very good for you, so she likes us to talk about that. I don't know why she was talking about that these mushrooms. I guess I didn't write down the name of it. I know that they're on our property. They're red mushrooms, and they have little white patches around on top of them. And if you eat one of those, it liquefies your liver. Not in your liver, it liquefies your liver, so it's not a good thing. It's very poisonous. Seems like she had something I think if you use some curcumin, it protects you against things like that. Curcumin has an ORAC value of 25,000 for I don't know what. Didn't write that down. Maybe it's in the book. MSG, Accent is in MSG, you probably know that part. I wanted to get over here to the smoothie part, where she talked about the smoothies, because I couldn't figure out why she was talking about the smoothies. Well, she's assuming that we put fruit juice in our smoothie, or milk, or something that she didn't want us to be using. And I always start my smoothie with Timac water. So I thought, okay. But then she really, really thinks it's important that we sit down and eat our breakfast or our meal. And if we have smoothies, we can just drink them up really fast, and your body doesn't have time to even realize, especially if it's sweet, it will still call for insulin. And so I'm still in favor of using smoothies, but we use all good ingredients. And, but when we put things in our smoothie, again, we're going to be looking at our chart and making sure that we have high alkaline things. I'm certainly next summer I'm going to be freezing more cubes or sliced little pieces of watermelon. I'm not sure where watermelon is. Watermelon is down here on the high glycemic. So the other thing I'm always putting in my smoothie is flax seed. That will slow things down for the insulin. And so we want to put some fiber in our smoothie. So it isn't high glycemic. And so what fiber are you using in your smoothies? As I'm sure you're using from fruits and some of these good things that are high alkaline, but what are you going to do about the glycemic index in your smoothie?
I put apple in mine.
With the peeling on?
Oh, yeah, and the seeds. I wash the apple thoroughly, and then I throw it in, seeds and all. Well, I cut it up.
I don't suppose that affects the glycemic index. So it's still good, even if you cut it up. All right.
Now, say that again.
I was kidding. I was saying, I'm sure it's like... Oops, went the wrong direction. Okay, and so let's look down here at apples. Where are those apples?
That's on the first far
right
left.
There
you go.
There it is, right up there. And it's good glycemic and good blue. So these are good things to find and use, all these things that are blue and on the top of here.
They say that apples help stabilize your sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I throw in spinach, too.
Right. And... put a little bit of some lemon or some lime. Well, that'll raise your alkalinity. There, that is up there. Okay, so that works. I put nuts in mine sometimes. I don't put nuts in very often. Since I eat so many of them anyway, I decided I didn't eat them in my drink. I definitely put berries in. So we have a lot of berries. Any other ideas of what you put in, all these things? So that we don't want to have a high glycemic. She suggests that if you're going to make a smoothie, if you're going to have a smoothie, and that's what you want to have, you should put it in a bowl and eat it like soup. I think the reason that people are wanting to have a smoothie is because they're in a hurry. One of the reasons. So they got to get to work or something.
I take my smoothie, that's my time to relax, and I go sit down and really, I put my feet up and take my smoothie and my almonds and enjoy myself.
Oh, you're eating your almonds with your smoothie. I like that plan.
Yeah, I eat my almonds. I have to have that chewing process.
Yeah, I like that too. So, you know, they did tests on these rats, and they had them in stress traps, and the rats would gain weight when they were stressed, and they wanted to eat more desserts. I guess they thought that was some kind of soothing from when they were stressed. They couldn't go anywhere. So she suggests that we take some time and get in our hot tub and our sauna, because stress is inflammatory. We must eat well, healthy foods, when we're under stress. We really, really need to work on that, because otherwise you're getting a double whammy on your body. I shouldn't say that, but you would be having stress and eating the alkaline things.
Yeah.
Eating over here. Pardon me?
Yeah, I said, did you mean acid?
Yeah.
Stress and acidic foods. Yeah, that would be a double whammy, that's for sure.
You know, and how and why? Corn chips, I've been definitely guilty of eating those more than I needed to, probably. To eat them when you're stressed and not be the right answer for solving the problem. So, anyway, tomorrow I'm going to cover some more of this Dr. Blaylock article, because I think that is there are some things in here that I learned, and so hopefully you'll enjoy that and bring some people to listen. So,
the other day when we were talking about genetically modified foods, someone on the call said that one way you could tell when you were shopping was the number that is on the fruits or vegetables.
And yeah, when I was going to Costco day before yesterday, I did just that, and it's amazing. Now, cucumbers, there were some that started with an 8, and I wouldn't touch them, so I'd like somebody to tell me, is that really a good way to be able to tell?
I think so. It's right in this book, in Kathy's book.
Is that right?
Okay, so if it starts with a 9, it's organic, and if it starts with an 8, it is not?
It's genetically modified.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, here they are. Yeah. The PLU numbers, price lookup.
Wow, is that ever valuable information?
It's on page 201 in the book. with a sticker carrying 5 numbers, always beginning with a 9, is certified organic. The original number also included an 8, would have told us that it was genetically modified. The 8 system has been abandoned. So there's no easy way to tell if conventional produce is genetically modified or not.
What do you mean abandoned?
They stopped?
I didn't read that before, so I don't know. Well, I did read it, but I didn't notice that. Produce that is grown conventionally. They have four stickers on them. The numbers are used to identify the type of produce, like a Gala apple or a Granny Smith. They also identify how it's grown. Produce that is grown conventionally, such as those above, carry stickers with 4 numbers. Produce with a sticker carrying 5 numbers, always beginning with a 9, is certified organic. So that one would be safe with a 9. 9-4-1-3-3.
I sure packed a lot of stuff the other day because it started with an 8.
The original PLU number system included an 8 that would have told us that the produce was genetically modified, but it has been abandoned.
Wow.
And we'll read more about that tomorrow. So you only know you're safe if it has a 9. If it doesn't have a 9, then you don't know. It would be very definitely suspect. And in other countries, any food that contains a GM ingredient must state that fact on the food's label. In North America, the manufacturer may choose not to inform consumers that their product is made from GM ingredients. Yes, and I've been reading that. I don't know if I was reading that in Dr. Blaylock or someplace else. It's making me very mad. There are websites. Learn which foods on the market may be genetically modified. There are websites. One of them is www.uscsusa. FUSA. University of California, FUSA, I suppose. .org /food. So that is, again, www.ucfusa.org/food. And agriculture. Uh, what is allowed on HTML where you can try to gain this information. Only buy those foods that are certified organic, which prohibits the use of any genetically modified ingredients, including the feeding of a genetically modified corn to cows, because they pass that right on to you if you eat them. Buy locally, of course, so you can talk to the producer or grower, if he's honest, which usually those people are. If they do not respond, assume they are using GM inputs.
You know, Ruth, this is Donna. Yesterday I was reading about GMO products, and and in genetically modified seeds, not only do they, it can be a gene, it can be a human gene or animal gene and other things. Isn't that scary?
It is very scary, yeah. You know, and you wonder why these children are having such terrible, weird diseases. On the horizon are bananas that produce human vaccines against infectious diseases. Bananas? But bananas are safe against infectious diseases such as hepatitis B, fish that mature more quickly. It's lovely. Cows that are resistant to bovine, not cow disease. Fruit and nut trees that yield earlier. So then if you eat that, well then probably your children will mature when they're five. Ugly, bugly.
Now, what did it say about bananas?
Well, just what Dana was saying, they're putting human genes, or they're putting things that make people mature faster. Let's see, 200. It's on page 202, this book. They haven't done this, I guess.
Are you reading that?
From yes, I am, from the Abascal Way to Quiet Inflammation.
Okay. Martha Sue, I'm sorry, I've just been listening. Wow, this has been, y'all have just been a wealth of knowledge today. This is cool. But I just wondered, I heard part of the deal about the sweeteners and her not liking stevia. Did she recommend the xylitol to use as a sweetener as opposed to?
No. Stevia is still the best. And the thing is it's going to stimulate your insulin. So then that will tell your body to gain weight. But as in the it's just like in the glycemics, even if you're having the fiber, I would assume that if you're having fiber with it, eat your nuts and things with it, that the reason for the fiber is it slows down that insulin response.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so it makes it like a lower glycemic level. But stevia doesn't really make one. It's just that her theory, anyway, is that would stimulate your brain to, because it's sweet, to release insulin.
Hmm. Okay.
So, you know, I'm not sure if that's her theory or if there's some proof of that. Don't know that I've seen any studies on stevia that it does that.
Okay. Well, I ordered my book yesterday, so I got one thing done. Woohoo!
Okay. Hey, you guys are a little bit over, so sorry about that. It's certainly been a nice conversation with all of you guys participating. I love it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow. Mañana.